We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Thumbs up on the Joe Girardi Cubs interview. And it really shouldn't come as a surprise. This is from a Cubs source, is that the Girardi interview essentially went very well. And they like him. And they like that he's done it before. They like his experience. They really like that he would push players.
Theo has stated a preference to hire people that have been in that position before.
Generally, yes. Yeah. But now, this is my source saying the big question remains whether Girardi's style would fit in internally. So this is an experienced, respected, smart professional who has done this before with some success, but it's not without question.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Hub Arkish belongs to you. He is a man of the people. The Ameristar pregame host will be here at 10, answering your questions, addressing your concerns regarding the Bears and the NFL. Midday, midway, at 10:40, Pete Futek at 11, Sahadev Sharma, who covers the Cubs, can have the latest information on the managerial search at noon. A special Friday Fung. Why not? Because we are here until 2. We might as well do it at 1 o'clock today. Your tales, your stories of your creepy or disquieting, uncomfortable neighbors with Please Don't Be My Neighbor.
Yes.
And you can, some of the emails are really good. If you want to email, please do that too, because I love reading some of that stuff. If you don't have time, if you're not going to be able to call,
yeah,
if you don't
want
to wait on hold, the emails are really good too. So do send that in as well. And we have two chances to win $1,000 cash.
Two different chances.
That's how you go into your weekend.
I mean, that's way.
With an extra grand in your pocket. And you got to be listening for the text keyword for your opportunity to win. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. Texting and sexting on a Friday at 67011. When you send one, either we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MC. Okay. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
What a run by Garrett Cole.
Jeez.
My word.
That's a rich man.
That's the kind of guy I'd pay for.
That's a rich
That's
man.
That's the kind of pitcher you take a shot at. Just give him a whole bunch of money, big bags full of money, and just say, well,
tracts of land.
Keep doing yep. whatever it is that the Astros taught you to do.
And don't tip your pitches.
I don't care if it's cheating. I don't care what you're doing. I just keep doing what you're doing. Speaking of, do you remember a team, a postseason team, that over a span of years like this has come into like the pitch tipping conversation as consistently as the Astros have?
They're good at it.
It seems like they always run into somebody who's tipped pitches, whether it's a starter or not, could be a reliever, but there's always a conversation at some point in their postseason where it's like, oh yeah, the Astros caught him again. He's tipping pitches and they laced him up. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, strange that it happens as often as it does for the Astros.
They keep doing it, right? With Darvish.
Found it.
They keep figuring that out.
They got Glasnow the other night.
Didn't the White Sox had a specialist, right? It wasn't Joe Nosek. Who was it? It was Cave. Whatever that guy's name was. They had a guy on the bench who
I can't remember what his name is. He's ridiculous to talk to.
It absolutely could sniff it out. It was a sixth sense where he would look at the angle of a landing foot, the spot of where it would be, how long somebody would dig in the glove, the position of the back shoulder on the separation. There are any number of things. Just a natural ability to say that looks different. It's like those things in Highlights magazine. 17 things in this picture are
spot
different.
The differences.
Spot the differences, and some people just kind of have that in a way that others don't. When you download the radio.com app, stream the Score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. There's Jay Zawoski, our executive producer. There's no Rick Camp today. Nope. It is Tony Gill in his stead. Very excited to be here. The Mexicutioner is in the back doing what he does. And just wanting more attention and praise is our own pet exotic bird.
Yes.
He is Kevin Zipak.
He's preening. Look at him.
Well?
He's preening.
He's waving like Gump on the shrimp boat.
Yeah, that's our Kevin.
Yeah.
That's our Kevin.
Excited for the weekend.
He's nice of Mitch to keep him around.
I know. He's eternally sleep deprived and oxygen deprived, I think. And that's what happens.
If he'd put it away for just a brief moment, I think he could probably suck down some oxygen, but he's busy doing something else.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves games are a great excuse to get your group together, whether it's for a company outing, a birthday party, a team celebration, or anything else. To set up your group, visit ChicagoWolves.com.
So it has happened. The pictures are out. The Intrepids have seen him. He has been spotted. David Ross has gotten coffee with Theo and Chad.
Did they want that shot?
Probably.
They had to have wanted it.
Probably.
They're not idiots.
Who cares, though, really?
Right?
I mean, we all knew. I mean, in his 81-minute press conference to end the season, Theo mentioned that, yeah, David Ross is a candidate. We'll be talking with David, and we can mention that because we pay him and because we watch a lot of baseball games with him and because he's been here for the better part of 3 years, kind of getting ready to go manage a baseball team. Like, of course they wanted that out there. Of course it's good that everybody knows that this is an interview that's happening.
I thought it was interesting listening yesterday as I'm driving around listening to Spiegs and Danny Parkins did a wonderful job yesterday sort of talking about some of the nuances in this. And looking at the relationship, we always keep talking about close to the players, close to the players. I think it's really significant that the proximity to and relationship with the front office might be more important, in large part because it's the front office that has the relationship with the players. They've got their guys. They've got their own contact. It would make sense for the guy who watched so many games with the Brain Trust. How many games, honest, how many home games or road games was David Ross there in the box with Theo and Jed? So when they're second-guessing Joe, and they do, and they admit that they do.
Who wouldn't?
And they say that, like, after the game, they'll talk to Joe and say, hey, why'd you put Strope in again? Well, I couldn't use this guy because of this, and we thought we had a matchup here. And then after the fact, there's always a legitimate explanation. We know that Joe has already inoculated.
Oh, he'll go kick your ass, too. That, if you're in the other dugout and questioning his bullpen moves, he promised an ass-kicking.
But it's kind of natural for the guy that knows how they watch games to be a comfortable crutch for them, I guess. Wrong word. That's just a comfortable place to fall back to feel good about what they're doing.
Well, isn't it it's not so much a fallback as it is a collective mind, right? It's a thought process that they've all kind of cultivated together, because I would hope that if David Ross gets hired, it's not just because he's going to do everything that the front office has told him to do. It's not just because he has watched a whole bunch of games with him, but it's also because he's somewhat influenced their thinking about some of this stuff, right? I mean, shouldn't you be hiring him? Theo kind of touched on this. The guy you hire can't be worried about following in Joe Maddon's footsteps, because if he is, he's the wrong guy. You don't get a chance to not follow Vin Scully or something like that. You don't get a chance to be the guy after the guy. Mm-hmm. You have to be the guy after the guy. You have to take this and run with it.
As long as you're in the window.
Your expectations are to win.
Be Barry Switzer.
Theo promised that, don't be Barry
Switzer.
Yeah,
be Barry Switzer. It's
no,
fun.
I think there's going to be less Barry Switzer. God, you think with a hard drinking and swilling in that neighborhood?
Yeah, take your gun on the plane.
If Barry Switzer was a baseball manager of the Chicago Cubs in Wrigleyville, are you kidding me?
I mean, the guy that just sort of picks up the already working machine, like, well, let's ride this bitch, right? You know, that was Barry Switzer.
People would have died. Yeah, are you joking? Okay. There would have been alcohol-related deaths up and down from Belmont to Irving.
Hey, thanks for the Art Kushner.
Yeah,
that's the cave. That was the guy who had a natural ability to just recognize what a pitcher was doing that gave you a better idea of what pitch might be coming.
I remember being on the backfields just a couple of years ago. He still was still with the White Sox then, and driving around in a golf cart and stuff, and going down on backfields. I remember somebody looking at me saying, "There goes a dinosaur." But you need that guy. Like, there's nobody like him that does what he does around baseball anymore. Apparently, it's just he's that kind of fossil that you don't find. It's just crazy.
And still has value. Like he's
immensely respected. Really, the last year I was there, immensely respected. I believe he's still there. I'm sure he's still immensely respected, regardless of when it is. But he was there then.
The 405 texter says, "What if Theo and Jed have been more or less brainwashing Ross to be the droid they want for the past 3 years?"
But this is what I'm saying. Sure, that's maybe true. You could just be doing the whole mind wipe on him. I mean, hell, David Ross himself wrote in the Players Tribune, we were talking about this yesterday, about a conversation he had with Theo where Theo looked at him and said, "Listen, you're kind of an ass. You need to be a different kind. If you're going to do this, let's do it from this perspective and not the one that you've been doing. Stop being, I hate so much about the way you choose to be." You know, I mean, that's the conversation he has right there in a clubhouse after a brutal season end. Ross says that changed him quite a bit. I would hope, though, and this is kind of where what I'm getting at, I would hope that he's got enough thoughts of his own, having been a catcher, specialized with a whole bunch of different relievers, bringing in guys out of bullpens, going up and having mound visits, all that stuff. He needs to have a way or a philosophy about what it is to make probably the most important strategic moves in baseball, and that's bullpen management.
This segment's brought to you by Valparaiso University. We all want to be part of something bigger at Valparaiso University. You can be part of something bigger without losing yourself in the crowd. And you'll discover that making the world a better place isn't wishful thinking. Visit valpo.edu to request information, to apply, or to schedule a visit. Good question here from Glenn talking about the Astros and pitch tipping and how they always seem to be in the middle of these things. Mm-hmm. He asked, "Do you think that their enhanced ability to do this relates in some way to them being one of the early adopters of high-speed cameras and using them to make minor adjustments to their pitchers' deliveries? The two activities are essentially similar. Perhaps the Astros aren't relying on some crusty old guy in the dugout but are getting their information from a 26-year-old IT guy."
I wouldn't be surprised if that's closer to the truth than not. Yeah, I know that there are some people that are uncomfortable with just how quickly the Astros pick up on that.
Because that gets to the second question, the next level of it, which is, do they have eyes on pitchers that, like, literally, are they rolling on these pitchers with illegally using Edgertronic? Because I'm wondering how that translates. If you can only see it at that frame rate, and you can't see it in real time, that's not going to...
Yeah, but we know that's not true, because Glasnow himself goes into the post game after and talks with reporters and says, "Yeah, you can. I went and watched tape. I could see where I was doing that. That was really tough."
Right, but that's not because of Edgertronic. That's just because of where he's positioning his glove.
Yeah, I mean,
that's,
I suppose.
That's macro stuff that you can see with the naked eye.
Oh,
so
you're saying in this instance particularly, Glasnow's tipping in such a way that's pretty
in
obvious.
In any instance.
But
play it out. 26-year-old IT guy is... He is in a room, he's rolling with their big blue camera on the actual starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
He sees something on the high-speed tape, okay? No matter what he sees, the players aren't seeing it at that frame rate. So unless you think he's relaying via some sort of wiring system, or he's telling them in that room when this advertisement on the scoreboard says this beer instead of this car.
You got a buzzer in your foot.
Right.
It's like if it buzzes, it's fastball. If it doesn't, it's an off-speed pitch.
And some players always say, I don't want that. A lot of people say, yes, please tell me what, because it makes me better at baseball. So unless you're saying that, I don't think he can notice something and then have, like what we saw last night when Alex Bregman shuts down a high five to mention something to the on-deck hitter to tell him what to do when he gets into the box. Because that's not being relayed from somebody who's breaking down tape.
I wouldn't bet that it is. I know baseball did their whole, what was it, two postseasons ago, they did their whole crackdown with people wearing press badges and Apple Watches and technology within dugouts. I would imagine that every baseball team has, you know, thought about, okay, what things are legal, what aren't, how can we use technology to our advantage in games? And I think baseball is kind of... has largely shut that down.
All right, back to the Cubs and David Ross for a second. I think there's something we have to consider about the process, and I need to ask about the protocol here, because judging Theo from what he's said at the end of the last two seasons might inform the way they approach the managerial hiring process, just to hold him to some of the things he said.
Grandpa Rossi interviewed for the Cubs managerial job yesterday. To my mind, he's the front runner. We'll talk about it next. Bernstein McKnight on the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Because I've heard the name of it, is Joe Girardi in
charge? I'm just going to address the David Ross thing because he's part of the organization, and you know, it was sort of already, he already addressed it publicly. But as far as other candidates, we'll let you guys know again in due time.
Well, okay. I guess you're doing it out of obligation. Then. I got you.
Yeah, well,
I hear you.
Sometimes you do things that way.
So when he says has spent all this time admitting that the Cubs have to be more open to new and different ways of doing business, and pretty clear that, you know, we've seen what's gone on, that other teams, other organizations are doing it better than the Cubs are right now. Even ones that are eliminated from current playoff contention.
Even some of those,
some
yeah.
that are just doing a better job finding value in guys, maximizing value, self-scouting, whatever it may be. Don't you want to make sure you interview somebody from one of those teams? If you're going to spend 8, 9, 10 hours, yeah, these things are marathons. Can't you be, even if it's not a guy you're going to hire, even if you're going to hire David Ross, and you're pretty sure you're going to hire David Ross,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you want to get Joe Espada in here for a real talking to? Don't you think you'd benefit from just exposure to the institutional knowledge?
Yes, absolutely.
If the Dodgers fire Dave Roberts, and I don't know if that's still on the table. Mm. I know how angry they are. If that were to happen, don't you want to talk to him just to learn stuff?
I think you do, probably.
Right. Why wouldn't you?
The only thing it could hurt is taking too much time and then you lose your preferred candidate.
You're not going to lose David Ross.
That's probably true. I think there are other teams that are likely interested in David Ross. There's plenty of managerial candidates, you know, with the air quotes around them that each and every year get interviewed by somebody, you know, that are interested in, but not really. Somebody's interested in David Ross, or at least talking to him in the same way that you're probably interested in the Cubs taking Joe Espada in and for an 8-hour interview and a coffee over at a Starbucks or whatever. Like, that's probably true, right? But yeah, I'd want to know as much as I can. Especially if you're going to go with an internal hire, a guy that you are so closely intertwined with, a guy that you watch as many Cubs games with as you have over the last two seasons, I think you probably would want at least to hear some views that are contrary to your own.
How do you go about your business? What do you see as the manager's role? I mean, just I think just for some sleuthing, it can't hurt to have an Astro, a Dodger, an Astro in there, because my goodness.
Maybe the 26-year-old video guy. Maybe you want to have him in there.
I'm just, go out of your way to make a candidate out of an Astro. If this bench coach is a candidate, it cannot hurt you to find out, to pick his brain.
The double-edged sword that is David Ross as candidate is fascinating to me, though. Because on the one hand, you have a familiarity with that team, an understanding of what those guys need, how to make them tick, all that kind of stuff. And the other side that cuts the other way is, well, they'll just be too familiar with you. It's just not going to work. You're too young, you're too connected, and they're just not going to hear you. Nobody's going to believe you when you start stomping around and flipping over tables or, you know, whatever he ends up having to do to motivate somebody once he gets his manager job. I find that intriguing because I would bet that it's assuming he's replacement level manager, You know, assuming that all things being equal, that he can handle the job in some other place, some other capacity, that knowing what it is, what can't go on any longer, this idea that, you know, he's been around that clubhouse and seen how these guys work and understood what it takes to get them to playing and participating at the top level that they can offer you, just, you know, when things start to get too comfortable, you can see things coming because you were there before. You understood what it was like when guys hit a little bit of malaise in August, and yeah, you got to push through it.
Again, what's critical to the authority of David Ross, not Joe Girardi, and not anybody else, what's critical to the authority is the open understanding that he is a proxy for the front office. You know, in some ways, people say, like, well, why should this guy listen to the manager? Because if you set it up properly, yeah, everybody knows the manager has the full backing. The manager is an extension of the people who are actually making the decisions. You get rid of a layer. It's this idea that Ross would be some sort of empowered skipper of my clubhouse, my lineup. I'm the skipper. It's us against them. Don't worry about it. We're all in this together. We're the only people who believe in us. He's not going to be Dusty Baker. If David Ross gets the job, Theo's there. I mean, he is their eyes and ears. You don't have snitches and spies and, well, who's the clubhouse's guy? Who's going back and reporting to them? You obviate all of it by having it above board and with a complete understanding of it. It changes the complete structure of authority. The whole buy-in idea. You're still working for somebody.
Yeah.
And this is a representation of the organization who happens to also have a uniform on.
I think most baseball players are ready for that.
I agree.
I think most baseball players are ready for that.
Why do you need the father figure coddling you or protecting you or saying, well, you know, don't worry about it. Go get it tomorrow. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, I don't think you do. And I think, too, that, you know, every team, regardless of how good or bad they are, eventually at some point, like even the Alabama football team, ends up at the end of the season holding a championship trophy and screaming to themselves, nobody believed in us but us. Like, everybody uses this. Even if you're Nick Saban in Alabama, at some point you look around and go, boy, we just pushed through that adversity. We did it. We showed
the haters.
Like, it happens. So finding that kind of motivation just localizes somewhere else now. And because media is so ubiquitous, because players are out there on Twitter and Instagram and what have you, and everybody can comment on this team or that team or whatever, it's really easy to look at the outside because there's so many things outside and go, well, they don't believe in us, so everybody else doesn't either. It's us against the world again.
Yeah,
and
but you can't do that anymore. You're in a major league clubhouse. Somebody believes in you.
Well, yeah,
someone drafted you. Somebody put you on the 40-man.
Uh-huh.
Somebody gave you every opportunity in the minors to show what you could do, and you're in the big leagues. You can't play the nobody believes in us card.
Unless you're Tommy La Stella playing for Joe Maddon. Yeah.
Kind of.
Sort of.
Which he will be doing again, we believe.
It's probably true. I think, too, what helps here, you asked how David Ross becomes enforceable. You know, how he gets to a point. It's the blessing of the front office, yes.
Do they have to do that?
Yeah, they have to do that.
I always get the order wrong. You have to know.
I think it's up, down, your left shoulder, your right shoulder.
Up, down, your left, your right.
Yeah, I think you go to the heart side first and then the off side.
Okay.
I think that's right. It's been a while.
Just making sure.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I told you the story, by the way, that when my son had a T-ball game when he was six.
No.
The game starts.
Yeah.
And he gets, it's his turn to bat, and he crosses himself. And because he had seen so many players do it, he just thought that's just what you do. That's just a thing.
Well, but Dad, making the star is so difficult.
Right. Six points.
I don't know which way to go.
He had no idea that it was a representation of the cross.
So I explained. No, you never told me that. That is so good.
And everybody saw it, too. It's like, really?
Yeah, and he's got news for you after the game, Dad.
Right, exactly. But it was one of those priceless little moments.
That
was just a thing baseball players do.
That is so great.
I don't know who it was. Was it Alexei Ramirez or probably Soriano?
A lot of guys.
Yeah. Was there a sky point involved?
No, a lot of kids do the sky point. I mean, that was one of my favorite things about young, like youth, baby, like the junior level after T-ball.
Sure.
When they're starting to get a little swag.
Yeah.
They're starting to feel it
still,
a little
still
bit.
Still coach pitch a little bit?
Yeah,
or
maybe
that...
half coach pitch, yeah. And they're kind of getting into it a little bit. And the, just the affectations, the mannerisms just from watching baseball.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I remember I was umpiring as a late teen, I think 17, 18 years old, something like that. I remember some dad having to take the kid, because it's the parents are all still around the dugout and, coach and manager are there, whatever. But the dad takes his kid aside after his first at bat and is talking to him. And it wasn't like typical over steroided dad, like screaming, like, you got to show up for this game, little 7-year-old. It was, listen, we don't have time for you to do the whole Nomar routine
before
every pitch. We don't have, everyone's out here. It's cold. We're waiting. We're going to brunch afterward with your grandmother, like all this stuff. And he's just, and the kid's just kind of nodding along and really sad and like adjusting his batting gloves as he's hearing about it.
You're not Mike Hargrove.
And then gets back in for the next at bat and goes to his batting gloves and goes, just kind of gathers himself.
Has to remind himself.
Okay, fine. Pitch the ball. I'm going to be fine. It was just
took him out of his routine. What I love is the 7-year-old who would do the Paul Konerko. Lean the bat up against your leg.
Yeah.
Adjust the batting gloves and then look down at the third base coach for the non-existent sign. Right? They're not at signs yet. Like standing there and squinting and like looking because you're supposed to look at the coach. Like, we don't do signs yet.
The
at
only
this
person
level.
Over there is the third baseman who's just drawing his name in the dirt with his cleat.
Exactly. Larry and Skokie, you're on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
Hello, gentlemen. I enjoy your program.
Thanks, Larry.
I know it's not fashionable to think that a manager's strategy influences the game very much, but I will continue to disagree with that. It's not everything, but I do think it's important. And I think Joe Maddon was arguably not the best at it. And I think one thing being lost in the conversation, I want to hear both your thoughts on this, is that we need a manager who will not continue to bat Albert Almora at leadoff and someone who can manage the bullpen. And whether that's Ross is obviously an open question. Can it be Girardi? I mean,
no, it's the front. Larry, it's the front office. The fact is, more often than not in baseball, those decisions aren't made in the dugout.
Well, but they're not picking who's coming out of the bullpen when, right?
Sometimes.
When to pull Hendricks.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah.
They're circling opportunities and lineup pockets and strategies about when this guy can get featured, who we want this guy to face.
It's all
who's
discussed
up, who's down, all that stuff.
In detailed meetings before the game. In this situation, we're doing this. In this situation, we're doing that. That's coming from the front office. That's not, in many situations, that's not a dugout or a managerial decision.
Well, if Albert Almora is batting leadoff with his .290 on base percentage, thanks to Theo and Jed, then maybe Theo and Jed aren't the right guys for the job.
Larry, well, you got a point about Almora's on base percentage.
If that's your point, obviously well taken. But the fact is, this has been in large part Joe Maddon's clubhouse, Joe Maddon's lineup, and Joe Maddon's team. That's going to change whoever the new manager is.
Yeah, I think so. Speaking of that new manager, when we get a little bit later on in the show, I got a conversation that's going to get us to David Ross and one of the best young managers in baseball and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that you don't see. Some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that matters for a manager in a front office and how it will impact the Cubs next year. But Hub Arkish has your calls.
This segment's brought to you by Amazon. Holiday hiring at Amazon starts now. Earn up to $16 an hour. No resume, no previous experience required. Choose from a variety of shifts. Find your opportunity at Amazon.com/apply. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
Way to find it.
The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Fan 4-packs are a fantastic way to enjoy Chicago Wolves hockey. 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, 1 large popcorn, and 1 low price. To get yours, visit ChicagoWolves.com. They are winners. They are the Wolves. Hub Arkish is here for you. Bears, NFL, whatever you got, he's got answers. He's got wisdom. And rhythm. Who could ask for anything more? 312-644-66. I got to put away the schnapps.
We're going to spend the next 5 minutes toweling off Dan. You're going to spend the next 5 minutes calling in to talk to Hub. 312-644-6767. Bette Midler, take a break. Hub is next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.